their statement that that the department cannot afford trade-offs like this in the best of times, and these are not good times. So it seems to me that any time there that we can spend a few state dollars to leverage additional federal dollars there, that it's incumbent upon us to do this.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 65. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So Amendment Number 65 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 66 by Senator Salo, page 13, line 9.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 66.
Amendment Number 66 is ruled. There is objection. Senator Salo.
Thank you. Amendment Number 66 would add a relatively small amount of money to the Department of Education in the area of teacher certification. Currently, the entire area of licensing teachers in the state of Alaska is handled by five people. A range seven who does all of the scanning of fingerprints for new teachers, a range eight who is a clerk, a range nine, a 10, and a 17 in that department. Considering that they handle all the licensing, both new licenses and renewals, it is a department that is understaffed, totally backlogged in issuing certificates, and is surviving only by borrowing staff and by having student interns. This is not a good situation, and all of the teachers in the state of Alaska certainly know that, because getting your certificate renewed is a real scary experience, because there is absolutely no leeway period in statute. If your certificate happens to run out and you can't get it back from the department in time, the district lets you go. You're done. You're over. And you can start reapplying and getting back into the district. And so the teacher certification division at DOE does handle renewals on a priority basis. But we added to their work a couple of years ago when we said that all teachers had to be fingerprinted when they had their initial certification. And that fingerprinting and screening of it is handled there in the certification department with no increase in personnel. The backlog for new hires is several months. And what they're doing now is people apply for a certificate in the state of Alaska, which is usually a great benefit when you're applying for a job to say, I'm certified in the state. But most people now applying for jobs in the state of Alaska can't say that because the department is so backlogged that they can't get their certificate out of there. So what they've done in desperation is tell districts, okay, if you want to hire this young teacher, let us know and we'll sort of try to get that application further up to the toward the top of the pile and see if we can't get them certified by the time you need them to actually be teaching. This is ridiculous. This is a department that needs more staff and a better circumstance. And what's really ridiculous and infuriating about it is a couple of years ago they doubled the certification fees for teachers in this state. You now pay $125 for that certificate plus $43 in order to have the benefit of being able to be fingerprinted. Those program receipts go somewhere. They're supposed to go to fund the PTPC and the remainder into the teacher certification department. You know, I beg you to consider putting a little bit more money into teacher certification. This is insane. Please vote yes on 66.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 66. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 66 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 67 by Senator Salo, page 33, line 36.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment 67.
Amendment 67 has been moved. There are objections. Senator Salo.
Thank you. Amendment, I'm confused by the board. Amendment 67 would put some money into corrections in order to be able to fund the Correctional Academy. Funding the Correctional Academy is very important, as you've heard in other debate on this floor. In order to open Wildwood to full capacity and in order to not borrow trained personnel from other facilities where they are needed around the state, there has to be money in the budget in order to train new prison personnel. I spent Saturday afternoon, beautiful Saturday afternoon, at Lemon Creek. I couldn't believe I did it, but If there was any doubt in my mind that we had a problem with prison space before I went out there, I have no doubt that that is in fact the case, that we absolutely need to open Wildwood, and I think we need to do it correctly, which means we need to have trained and good personnel. So I would move amendment number 67.
Question before Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is an important amendment, and Wildwood, we do need to assure that Wildwood is open. One, there's just a whole economic question here that's bothered me for a long time. It doesn't make sense to try to save state money, a little bit of state money, and then ship a whole bunch of state money outside to Minnesota and prop up their economy while we're laying off people. Our economy takes a nosedive, and Minnesota's economy gains. I don't understand that at all. So this is a small amount of money. I think we need to assure that Wildwood is open, and I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 67. Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I had mentioned earlier on a, I think it was a several days ago, regarding restoration of funding for the corrections budget, there are, this not only affects the senator from Kenai's district, but also my district, as people who were transferred from Wildwood when the facility was downsized are now seeking to, and they were transferred to Spring Creek Correctional Facility in Seward, are now seeking to get back to the Wildwood area, but are not able to do so because they do not have trained replacements to replace these individuals at the higher security facility at Spring Creek. It's the whole holdup is that we don't have an academy to train persons take their places at Spring Creek so they can move back to their homes and their families in the Kenai area and work at Wildwood. This is a very important item, and I urge your consideration.
The question before the Senate is the amendment, adoption of amendment number 67. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 67 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas to 12 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 68 by Senator Salo, page 34, line 11.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment 68.
There is objection, Senator Salo.
Thank you. Amendment 68 is related to amendment 67 that we just dealt with. Although the Senate version of the budget does have Wildwood operational, what I'm concerned about is that there are significant cuts, some might say crippling cuts, to the Department of Corrections. And it's clear to me that the problem is Wildwood would be a piece of solving it. But the problem is a little broader than that, just in our lack of ability to recognize the need for correction space if we're going to incarcerate people. And this amendment would fully fund the Wildwood Correctional Center for FY94, so it adds about $700,000, I guess, if my math at this time of night is correct, to the corrections budget. I would encourage you to vote yes on Amendment 68.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment number 68. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment number 68 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 13 yeas to 7 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment? Senator Salo.
Thank you. I would like to know what, you didn't announce what we're planning to do here, and I'd like to know.
Well, Senator Salo, I'm actually not sure. We have about 150 amendments. We've had numerous amendments on the same topics, and at some point I'm probably going to rule that the amendments are becoming dilatory and possibly limit to 10 more amendments or something else and let members decide what amendments they want to offer. But we are in the same legislative day that we were when we started this session, according to Tam Cook, and we are going to complete our business in this day.
Thank you.
Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 69 by Senator Donnelly, page 9, line 14.
Senator Donnelly.
Move Amendment 69. This is unlike previous amendments dealing with the media center. This is a 50% reduction in the media center for the governor.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment number 69. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 69 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 70 by Senator Donnelly, page 19, line 35.
Senator Donnelly.
Thank you. I move amendment number 70.
Amendment number 70 is moved. There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
We've had particular problems with the commissioner's office of this particular department, and I think this would send a pretty strong message that we think there needs to be some reform there in the fiscal responsibility.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 70. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 70 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 14 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment 71 by Donnelly, page 19, line 30.
Senator Donnelly.
Move amendment 71.
Amendment number 71 is moved. There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
We've had an explanation of some of the described concerns by the public and other and extensive review of the particular travel problems with this commissioner, and this amendment is directed towards those.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 71. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 71 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 14 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment 72 by Senator Donnelly, page 20, line 31.
Senator Donnelly.
Move amendment 72.
Amendment 72 has been moved. There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
Travel reduction in the commissioner's office for the Department of Labor.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 72. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 72 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 5 yeas to 15 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 73 by Senator Donnelly, page 11, line 15.
Senator Donnelly.
Move 73.
There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
Travel reduction in the legal services appropriation for the Department of Law.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 73. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? God bless you. And so amendment number 73 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 3 yeas to 17 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 74 by Senator Donnelly, page 37, line 8.
Senator Donnelly.
Move amendment 74.
There is objection, Senator Donnelly.
This is an increase, a 10% increase in the amount of the already designated unallocated reduction in the Legislative Council budget. So it's just further doing a small additional increase in the amount that's already recommended.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 74. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 74 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 14 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
I'm not going to offer amendment number 75, Mr. President.
Amendment number 75 is not withdrawn. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 76 by Donnelly, page 26, line 33.
Senator Donnelly.
This is another travel reduction, Mr. President, this time in the Commissioner's Office of Public Safety.
There is objection, Senator Donnelly?
That's
the question before the Senate is amendment number 76. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 76 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 4 yeas to 16 nays. Senator Kelly? The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Will the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 77 by Senator Donnelly, page 11, line 37.
Senator Donnelly?
Move amendment 77.
Mr. President,
move and ask unanimous consent to be allowed to combine amendments 77, 78, 79, 80, and 81 in a single motion under consideration at this time.
There's a motion to combine amendments 77 through 80, through 81. We are under a call, so we need our two other members.
Mr. President, these three of these deal with travel reductions of 25% in the Commissioner's Office for Revenue, 20%. Commissioner Office for Transportation Public Facilities and 20% for the Board of Regents. Two of them deal with reductions in Commissioner's Office for Revenue of 25% and in Transportation Public Facilities for 20%.
Okay, the motion before us is to combine. Senator Fatula is excused today. I don't know if he's still in the building. If he's out of the building, his excuse is valid, but if he's still in the building, we need to check and see if he's here, because I just didn't follow the call. Okay. It wasn't Senator Kurtula's call, so he won't lose anything by having it lifted. So is there any objection to the call being lifted?
I had a call on the phone. I would lift it now.
Without objection, the call is lifted. Senator Donnelly's motion to combine the amendment 77 through 81, he asked unanimous consent. Is there objection? Without objection, the amendments are combined. Senator Donnelly, speaking to your combined amendment.
I just asked for the body support of the combined amendments.
The question before the Senate is, shall the combined amendment 77-81 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so, combined amendment 77-81 fails to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 13 nays. Senator Taylor, would you go ahead and call the Senate, but we do need to find out whether Senator Kurtula left or not, just so we know what. Would you call the Senate again?
Yeah, I think I actually had one on, but I will repeat my call and reassert my call.
We lifted your call, and you lifted it and agreed to it because you were sitting there and didn't complain.
Very docile about the whole thing.
Okay, let's see, we're at amendment number 82. Would the secretary please read the next amendment? But somebody I assume is looking for Senator Petula.
Amendment number 82 by Senator Jarrah, page 20, line 19. It has been distributed.
Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move for the adoption of 82.
Okay.
Mr. President, members, as I mentioned earlier, that amendment 65 was very close to 82. In fact, these two together gave us a reduction of $30,900. And again, the impact of this amendment is going to result in the loss of federal funds. And what this amendment would do would restore the funding cut by the subcommittee, and with the cut to the management services, these funds attract additional federal funds, and in combination with the previous amendment, this would have attracted, as I mentioned earlier, about $180,000 in federal funds. In deleting this total of 30.9 from these two components, we will lose an additional $180,000 in federal funds of these positions. And also, it says parts of these two components are funded through indirect cost plan, which is negotiated with the federal government. And I don't know what that means. I was not part of any negotiations. It seems to me that somewhere along the line, the state of Alaska, through the Department of Labor, has been in some negotiations with the federal government. And as a result of this here, the federal government reduces allowable indirect funding by the amount of the budgeted vacancy factor. So raising the vacancy factors for these components would result in an additional $59,600 reduction to the management services and a 13.4 reduction to the market labor information. And as I mentioned there, the total impact there would leave us approximately $184,600 short of federal funds.
Senator Curtula is excused, and Senator Duncan, he has left the building.
It occurred to me that he must be out of the building. He left a number of
okay. He is excused today and is out of the building. Would the board show his excused and not absent then? Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate for the remainder of yesterday.
Without objection, Senator Salo.
Thank you. I tried to hang in here, but
for the remainder of yesterday, and thank you for hanging in as well as you did. The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 82. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And that vote should show Senator Salo as excused. And so Amendment Number 82 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 83 by Senator Sharoff, page 20, line 19. And this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Sharoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the amendment.
Amendment Number 83 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Sharoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment would put back into the Department of Labor $184,400 of general fund dollars into labor market information. These funds are for the department's population program. According to the department, these funds generate a return of approximately 30 federal dollars for every state dollar that we put into this program. These are the census, population, estimation, and projections, functions of the department. Without this program, the Department of Education, Community Regional Affairs, and HESS will have to produce their own population figures. It has taken over 10 years for the state's demographic information to be accepted by the federal government, and the loss of this program jeopardizes millions of dollars of that the state receives under the various federal programs based on the state's population.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 82. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 83 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 84 by Senator Lincoln, page 32, line 35, and this has been distributed.
Senator Lincoln.
I move for the adoption of Amendment Number 84.
Amendment Number 84 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Lincoln.
Amendment 84 adds $30,900 to the designated grant item for the Yukon River Fisheries Drainage Association. This would bring the grant to a total of $50,000. The Fishery Association is the only area-wide organization of fishermen, subsistence, sports, and commercial in existence. The organization is in its third year of operation, and in a short time has an impressive list of accomplishments. There's no base funding for the YRDF other than the $50,000 requested from the state. The association has membership fees, and these annual dues help offset the cost of the operations. Last year was the first year the funding for the association. Rather than start another organization with associated costs, this grant has been operated on a contract basis through an existing organization. The funds cover part-time funding for an executive director, newsletters to all the Yukon River permit holders, and costs associated with an annual meeting. The association was charged with the development of a management plan for the Toklat River. Since 1990, the subsistence fishery on the Kantishna and Toklat Rivers for fall chum salmon have been closed, and in 92, the commercial fisheries on the mainstream of the Yukon was also shut down. The association members met and developed a management plan that would restrict fishing on the Yukon River in order to rebuild the stocks. They agreed to cut back on their own fishing time, and this plan was adopted by the Board of Fisheries at its last meeting. This small investment has saved the state considerable time and associated funding by allowing the fishermen to work with the department by coming up with workable solutions. The membership realizes conserving stock for tomorrow is an investment for their future. Additionally, the organization has been involved in the U.S.-Canadian treaty negotiations and other projects involving the Yukon River salmon fishery. Mr. President, as you can see, that this $50,000 or an is the total amount of $50,000 is a small price to pay for what this group has done in managing our fishery resources and assisting the Board of Fish to come up with their management plan and working out solutions between all of the groups of fishermen in the Yukon River fisheries drainage area. And I would encourage you to continue to support this organization. It is a new organization, like I said, this is its third year, and is a small amount to pay for what they have returned in that short time.
The question before the Senate, shall amendment number 84 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Senator Lincoln, on your amendment.
Good morning.
Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 84 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Senate Bill number 85 by Senator Lincoln, page 24, line 37.
Senator Lincoln.
The adoption of amendment number 85.
There is objection, Senator Lincoln.
This amendment restores the $197,300 that was requested by the governor for the board services. The restoration of this money to the board services will allow the boards of fisheries and game to be funded to meet without eliminating 1 week of meetings for each board. That allocation of the $197,000 is broken out with $88,000 for board meeting days, $22,000 for personnel services, $70,000 for board travel, $15,000 for contractual, and $1,000 for supplies. The $88,000 for the board meeting days would restore 7 days each for the Board of Fisheries and Game and 2 days for a meeting of the Joint Board. In Alaska, we prize ourselves on the public process involved in the management and allocation of our fish and wildlife resources. These board meetings are one of the most critical parts of that public process. Citizens can come before the boards of fisheries and game to make their concerns and feelings known on specific proposals impacting their way of life. Whether they be subsistence users, sports fishermen, or hunters, or commercial fishermen, By reducing these 7 meeting days, we are cutting back on the opportunity for the public to participate in the decision-making process. We are also rushing the deliberation process, which in days of complex issues facing us will result in possibly poor decisions. The restoration of the $22,370 in personnel services line provides for full funding for one of the 7 positions which directly supports the board. The restoration of the $86,000 in travel, contractual and supplies would provide funding that, if not included in the budget, would result in additional reductions to the board meeting days. According to the Department of Fish and Game, 7 additional lost days of meetings, each for the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game, and another 10 days for the joint board would result. Without this funding, meeting days for the Boards of Fisheries and Games would be reduced by approximately 1/3. That may require the boards to change their current schedule for reviewing regulations. There will be insufficient meeting days to allow for completion of regulation reviews as currently scheduled for the 93-94 board cycle. Ladies and gentlemen, I really urge you to again restore the $197,000 for that public process to take place throughout our state for managing our fish and game resources.
Senator Taylor?
Unfortunately, Mr. President, no public process is taking place in front of the Board of Game. The good senator's more than convinced me on this one.
Question before the Senate is adoption of Amendment Number 85. Members may proceed to vote. Senator Lincoln? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So Amendment Number 85 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 12 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 86 by Senator Lincoln, page 25, line 9.
Senator Lincoln?
Mr. President, this is an amendment that was offered in a previous amendment that was for the funding of the Fort Yukon position, and I fear that I might not be able to sway the majority leader, so I'll withdraw this one.
Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Senate Bill Number 87 by Senator Lincoln, page 25, line 4.
Senator Lincoln?
I move for the adoption of Amendment Number 87.
There is objection, Senator Lincoln.
This amendment adds $327,000 to restore the funding level to the governor's amended request. The $327,000 is for 3 regional coordinators at $175,000, $57,000 for 3 advisory committee meetings per year, $20,000 for personal services, $68,000 for travel, $5,000 for contractual, and $0.8 for supplies. The loss of the 3 regional coordinators would result in the closure of either the Bethel or Kotzebue office, layoff of the regional coordinator, as well as deleting funding for 15% of a shared clerical position. The regional advisory committees would be divided between the remaining offices in Fairbanks. The second office proposed for closure is the Dillingham office, and layoff of the coordinator and deleting funding for 33% of a shared clerical position. The third office proposed for closure, Klukwan, with a layoff of 1 full-time position. Southeast Regional Advisory Committees would be supported out of headquarters, and those are 22 advisory committees. Regional coordinators located in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Bethel, or Kotzebue, will see increases in their workloads. Other line divisions will be assigned support duties for advisory committees, resulting in decreases in other programs. The bilingual skills of rural coordinators provides the much-needed interface to the mostly English-speaking biology staff. The $57,000 for advisory committee meetings would bring the total number of meetings for these committees to the current 3 per year. The $20,000 would result in restoring the second half of a headquarters position now assigned to direct support of the boards, which further reduces the effectiveness of the boards. $74,000 for travel, contractual, and supplies would allow for the third advisory committee meeting per year, Without this meeting, advisory committees would not have the opportunity for meaningful participation in the regulatory process. The advisory committee meetings allow for participation by the public in the regulatory process. In the rural bush areas, these advisory committee meetings are the only avenue open for public participation for those who cannot afford to travel to Anchorage for the regular board meetings. Given the complex issues that have come before the boards of fisheries and games, it is critical and helpful to the boards to have this local input in the process. I urge your support.
Would the members please vote on amendment number 87? Have all members voted? Senator, does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 87 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas, 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Mr. President, was it something that I said? Did I crack a joke here? It don't look like I'm doing fine according to that board.
Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 88 by Senator Duncan, page 10, line 36.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, I missed a debate on this amendment when it was previously offered, but I guess out of, regard to the late hour, I'll withdraw it.
Madam Secretary, would you read the next amendment?
Amendment number 89 by Senator Little, page 18, line 22, has been distributed.
Senator Little?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 89.
Senator Little?
Thank you. Many of our emergency medical services aren't trained or don't have the equipment to respond to a hazardous substance spill. This amendment would allow for the funding necessary to train and give equipment for hazardous substance, for handling hazardous substance spills. This will also allow hospitals to do training for protocol to handle contaminated patients. Without this funding, Alaskans who happen to encounter, for some reason or another, hazardous substances in an accident or a mishap will not be treated with trained personnel in the best manner.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 89. Members may proceed to Senator Lincoln.
Thank you. First I'd like to add my name as a co-sponsor to this amendment, please.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. This is one that I also had as an amendment, and I would like to just reiterate again that when we talk about hazardous materials, they're found throughout the state and are a potential threat to the lives of many of our Alaskans. Without this funding, the EMS's ability to actively participate in the planning process in dealing with hazardous substances and oil or chemical spills would be significantly limited. We have seen throughout the state again and again hazardous materials that we don't even know about yet, that every day it seems like we open up the paper and read about something else that has cropped up. And we need to have these trained EMS personnel there, and I urge your support on this as well.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 89. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Senator, would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 89 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 90 by Senator Little, page 6, after line 12.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 90.
Senator Little.
Thank you very much. This is the crime bill for the 90s. As many of you know, most people who are in prison are victims of child abuse or some sort of emotional abuse in their families. This bill would fund the Children's Trust Fund that was established in 1988, which would provide a forum for treatment for prevention of child abuse and neglect. Alaska has a child abuse rate 60% higher than the national average, which is serious. The number of children receiving protective services has increased 300% since 1978, and the number of children receiving protection because of sexual abuse has increased 800%, Mr. President. This is a serious problem in this state, and we could significantly reduce the number of new prisoners that we would have to deal with in the future if we were to adopt a provision such as this to treat people early and keep them out of trouble and out of our jails.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 90. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 90 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 91 by Senator Little, page 16, after line 14.
Senator Little.
President, I move Amendment 91.
Amendment 91 has been moved. An objection? Senator Little.
Thank you. I wouldn't have moved this amendment had the previous one been approved. However, this is a second in a what I consider real crime bills for the 90s. And this would also follow along the lines to give early treatment to at-risk parents who are at risk of possibly abusing their children. And there is a similar program to this in Hawaii that has been incredibly successful, 98% successful. I don't think we've ever seen any prison system that's that successful. And it would be money better spent, in my opinion, than some of our other crime bills that we've put forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 91. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so Amendment Number 91 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 8 yeas to 10 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 92 by Senator Little, page 23, line 18.
Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Amendment Number 92.
Amendment Number 92 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment would restore funding to the Pipeline Coordinator's Office. This is another program receipts-funded program that really, in my opinion, there is no reason to cut it since it's already funded through private means. This is in the Department of Natural Resources budget, and like I said, is totally funded by program receipts. I really would advocate that in the future we contemplate having a program receipts budget alone so that we aren't tempted to cut programs that fund themselves. Thank you.
Question before the Senate, shall Amendment Number 92 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any to change their vote? Senator Donnelly. Senator Donnelly from no to yes. any further members want to change their vote, would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So amendment number 92 has failed to be adopted. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 93 by Senator Little, page 24, line 28.
Senator Little.
I move amendment number 93.
Amendment number 93 has been moved. There is objection. Senator Little.
Thank you. This amendment would restore funding to the Moose Research Center, which is located on the Kenai Peninsula. It used to be the Moose Range, but now it's called the, well, I can't remember right now, to tell you the truth. At any rate, this is a very important center, especially since we are contemplating farming moose. Many of the advancements that we've come to obtain have been reached by this Moose Research Center. As a matter of fact, the moose food that has been developed that allows for moose farming was developed at this center. There is continued need for moose research. They are working on not only specialized traps that allow for a breakaway so that moose don't get caught in, for instance, traps for other animals. They're also working on a specialized electrical rail that will keep moose off of the railroad, which I think we'd all like to see. I believe that this is an important entity, especially since we're contemplating farming moose, excuse me, in the state.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would urge a no vote. This is my surplus moose for my bill.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, I want to hear more about that study research on an electric rail that would keep moose off the railroad. It doesn't take 35,000 votes. You just set it 10 feet away from the railroad. They're not going to get on it. But I think it's a good...
Ready, cook.
I'll support this, though.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment number 93. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 93 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 70 yeas to 11 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment? Senator Duncan.
When the scorekeeper votes on our side, does that help us or hinder us?
He's trying to send a message.
Oh.
I didn't notice it, though. Would the secretary please read the next item on the next amendment?
Amendment number 94 by Senator Duncan, page 25, line 11.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you. I would move amendment number 94. Mr. President, this is an area that does cause concern for me, and I think for a lot of other folks. It's in the Department of Fish and Game, the Habitat Division, and there are some serious reductions in the Habitat Division, and I've got 3 pages of the impact, and I'm not going to go through all that. I'm going to shortcut that just a little bit.
Senator Duncan.
I'm just going to shortcut that a little bit and talk about what really some of the impacts are. For example, the proposed reduction in the special projects is cut of about $221,000, 100% of the general fund program receipts. This is another case of general fund program receipts. According to information I've got, ongoing projects that are funded by such folks as Cominco and BP Exploration, ARCO, and Fairbanks Gold Mining will be lost. Those folks are paying money for some ongoing projects. That's program receipts. These studies that they're funding increase applicants' awareness of fish and wildlife concerns, expedite the Alaska Department of Fish and Game permitting process, and provide valuable data for use in other state and federal permitting decisions. And I think that's important to continue. I still don't understand, Mr. President, why we're cutting program receipts. And I'm going to spend some time early tomorrow morning, or this morning, figuring out how much in program receipts we've actually reduced in this budget and how much we reduced in true general fund. there's a lot of other areas where this cutting is really going to hurt, to travel cut. There's just a growing number of permit applications throughout the state. There are complex land use decisions that we're facing. The division needs an increase, not a decrease in travel, and we're proposing a decrease in travel. The overall reduction in the personal services, for example, and I'll just pick two just randomly, the impact on two areas is going to close two southeast areas offices, Petersburg and Sitkin. That's just a random selection. I'm not trying to put anybody, point out anything here other than the fact that those two offices will be closed, Petersburg and Sitka. Essentially means the division will be unable to meet its statutory responsibilities to do inspections and Title 16 permitting in northern southeast. It's just going to cause some very serious problems, Mr. President. I really don't understand, and seriously, I don't understand why we're cutting program receipts. And I think that, I hope that the Finance Committee Chairman or Co-Chairman will think about that overnight and can give us the rationale tomorrow as we continue to debate this bill, why program receipts have been cut to such extent in the budget when those are receipts are cut, are being paid by individuals for services that they're receiving and studies that they want to have done to further their ability to operate in the state.
Question for the Senate is the adoption amendment number 94.
Is this another one of the linchpins to economic development?
Mr. President,
Duncan.
There's several linchpins to economic development.
I know you named one so far.
Yes, I did name that one. And in fact, since you asked that question, Mr. President, I'd be very happy to talk about the need for this linchpin. I mean, what do we call it? This linchpin. It's serious, and I know this is we're getting late in the morning or early in the morning, but it is a very serious. And it will stop economic development. Seriously, it will. If you can't get permits, you don't operate some of these projects.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 94. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the Secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? So amendment number 94 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 7 yeas to 11 nays. Would the Secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 95 by Senator Jarrah, page 5, line 17.
Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the amendment.
There is objection, Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is an amendment there that will create economic stability and enhance local development, and I have quite a bit of information here on this particular project. It's a hatchery for Port Graham, and I'll try to just sort of capsulize it. This amendment would add $500,000 to the appropriation for the Fisheries Enhancement Loan Program. It's not a giveaway, it's not a grant, it's a loan program. To provide a loan to Port Graham Hatchery Corporation for the development of a hatchery in Port Graham. It is also my understanding that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development supported this project. They submitted it to OMB. It was omitted from the governor's budget. My understanding that this program and the department or the supporters of this part from the department indicate that this is a good, worthwhile project, and rather than to belabor everybody there with the background and the history of the hatchery, the design and the activities and so on, I'll just leave it at that. I will say I did have the opportunity to personally visit this hatchery, and there was I was quite impressed to see what the small community could do with basically a lot less than what other hatcheries are, and it's strictly an operation there for the community, operated by the members of the community, and it's, I think it was one there that probably is going to, at some point, get off the ground, and it will be an enhancement not only to that area, but to the fisheries as a whole, and to the state overall.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 95. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 95 is failed by a vote of 6 yeas to 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Number 96 is by Senator Cotulla. He is not here.
Would you read 97 then?
I will move amendment number 96 for Senator Cotulla. He asked me to do that before he left.
Okay.
He even gave me his backup.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to move amendment number 96.
Okay. Amendment 96 will be listed as by Duncan. Can't be listed by a person who's not here.
That's fine.
Senator Duncan.
Jeez, do I want to do this? Mr. President, the explanation, I think, is below, is there on the page. Senator Cotulla put the explanation together very well. If you read that in detail, it'll explain what it's about.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 96 by Senator Duncan. Senator Little.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. This is the geographic information system that many of our reapportionment maps were drawn on. Without that system, we would have had an incredibly slower time getting maps and other information out during our reapportionment.
The question before the Senate is shall amendment number 96 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 96 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 5 yeas to 13 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 97 by Senator Duncan, page 13, line 37.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move amendment number 97. Mr. President, amendment number 97 deals with the Alaska State Library, and a reduction has been taken in library operations, which is pretty serious. And throughout the Department of Education, there have been a number of reductions taken, and that's a very small agency. It doesn't have a whole lot of room for reduction. And so in addition to eliminating probably 35 positions, we're also eliminating a lot of services that folks have begun to have come to count on. For example, the loss here of library operations, for one thing it'll do is it'll lose some positions, one being a library and three in Fairbanks. The loss of that library and three position in Fairbanks, coupled with cuts in travel and contractual, will put the state library below its federal maintenance of effort for library services and Construction Act Title I funds. And as a result of that, the state library will lose an additional $357,000. So we're saving $253,000 to lose $357,000. That, Mr. President, doesn't seem to make good budget sense. Title I funds are distributed to the public libraries, and as a result of this reduction, this will not happen, in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau to operate regional library services. In addition, Title I provides a major urban resource library grant called MURL, M-U-R-L, to Anchorage Municipal Library. And losses to the libraries are going to be substantial. For example, Anchorage is going to lose $109,350. Fairbanks will lose $135,105. Juneau will lose $88,900. Nome, $32,250. Bethel, $7,126. These libraries all mail books out to rural areas, and this service will be eliminated. It serves about 1,100 families each month. These are individuals or families in remote or rural locations where public libraries are not available. And now with this amendment, or without this amendment, with the budget as it is, even these books that are provided to the regional services and mailed out won't be available. These folks are going to not have much to read. And because we didn't adopt the public broadcasting increase, they may not even have much to watch.
The question before the Senate is amendment number 97. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 97 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas and 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Senate Bill number 98 by Senator Duncan, page 9, line 14.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've tried 1,000 different ways to pass this one to kill the media center. This is a duplicate.
Senator Duncan,
I'm going to withdraw it.
Yeah.
And start supporting it, and that way it'll die, probably.
This amendment number 98 is the fourth try at the media center. Eliminate, cut in half, transfer to something else, eliminate again. We are reaching the extreme on amendments. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Senate Bill number 99 by Senator Jaroff, page 22, line 36.
Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move the amendment.
There is objection, Senator Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment restores $338,700 in the personal services to the Forest Management section of the Department of Natural Resources. The governor's budget reduced this component by $791,000. As a result of this reduction, the South Central and Northern Regional Affairs offices were dissolved, and the management of those offices will now be the responsibility of the state forester. In addition, the deputy director position has been deleted along with $100,000. The further reduction proposed by the Senate Finance Committee of $580,000 will result in the deletion of 17 additional positions. The most disturbing part of this proposal is the tremendous impact the reductions will have on the timber industry. Many of the positions which will be cut are involved in the implementation of the Forest Practices Act, which is a compromise between the industry and environmentalists. Industry believes that their hands will be tied unless there is a repeal of the Forest Practices Act. At the same time, the timber business in Alaska is enjoying a resurgence due to the closure of logging in the Northwest. Industry believes that this will stifle the real growth of the timber business in Alaska. And rather than go through everything in here, I've got several pages of backup. I think that sort of gives us a capitalization of what this amendment would do.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of amendment number 99. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so amendment number 99 has failed to be adopted by a vote of 6 yeas to 12 nays. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 100 by Senator Jaroff, page 22, line 24.
Senator Jaroff.
Mr. President, with reservation, I'm going to ask to be able to withdraw this. This amendment did come up earlier, I believe. But I know that this is also a benchmark there for our recorder over there, because at the 50th amendment there, we were given a tally. Now here we are at the 100, and if I withdraw this, it may cause some problems. But I move to ask to have it withdrawn.
The amendment has not been moved, so it doesn't need to be withdrawn. It is not before us. Would the secretary please read the next amendment?
Mr. President.
Senator.
If you'd like a new total, including those with five votes or less, it's $42,615,563. And I request that somebody modify their next amendment to have a 7 on the end so we can at least round off these numbers.
Would the secretary please read the next? Senator Kelly.
Can I ask unanimous consent I be excused for the remainder of the session of this legislative day?
Senator Pierce, you object?
It's okay.
Senator Kelly. Senator Kelly, I certainly share that, but in the case of the two particular members that are gone, I think they probably have reasons that extend beyond my reasons, and that's why my tolerance is a little bit higher toward them than it would be toward
myself. I'm not a tolerant, so I'm going to maintain my motion.
Is there objection to excusing Senator Kelly for the rest of the day? The Senate will stand at ease. Would the Senate please come back to order, Senator Kelly? Well, thank you, Senator Kelly. We have been through 100 amendments. The minority members have offered a number of, and I think there are a lot of good amendments here. The only minority member so far, I think, that hasn't offered any amendments is Senator Adams. I would ask that the, I think that the patience of the majority is just about worn out. I would ask that you try and combine the remainder of your amendments. And Senator Adams, if you have several amendments you'd like to offer, I'd like to go to your amendments, but I am going to start to rule the remainder of the amendments to be dilatory. I would offer you a little bit of a at ease. We can take a break on the second floor for 5 minutes, and if you'd like to kind of reach the questions you want to reach that are the most important, feel free to do that. But if we could limit it to five more amendments when we come back in 5 minutes. Senator Adams.
Mr. Chairman, I do have 11, and I will be withdrawing probably a half of those 11 because some of those have been already covered. All of my amendments that you see before you are a net zero. And so basically, I would like to try to explain those as I eliminate them. There will be probably only five I will be offering, Mr.
Okay.
President.
However the minority members want to work it out, I will go through the next five that you want me to go through in any combination that you want to come up with. We're at ease for 5 minutes. Will the Senate please come back to order? We were on, I believe, Amendment 100. Does 101? Does the Senate Secretary have any more amendments? There are no more amendments. Okay, that's not an amendment that gets turned in. That's an amendment somebody's working on or something. Okay, it is a plan to come back in at 1 o'clock tomorrow. If there are no, Senator Pierce?
Go to announcements, or what are you going to do?
Well, we have no further amendments on Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 55 Rules. That will appear on tomorrow's calendar in third reading. Senator Adams.
Yes. Does that amendment go up to amendments go up to 149? My last one. Yes, it does. Thank you. That's all. I just want to make it clear. That was there. Thank you.
Yeah, there are no amendments on the Secretary's desk at this time, though. The amendments have all been withdrawn, and I expect will be offered again tomorrow, probably in different combinations or forms, whatever. Okay. Let's see, Senator Taylor, would you move that we hold the remainder of the calendar for tomorrow's calendar following.
What do you mean by tomorrow?
I mean tomorrow, not today, right. Tomorrow.
You mean Thursday?
What?
No, Wednesday.
Senator Taylor, would you move to hold the calendar for tomorrow?
I move, Mr. President, that we hold the entire calendar until tomorrow, which is April 7th.
Senator Duncan?
At 1 p.m.
Senator Duncan?
Objection.
Okay, the calendar is held until tomorrow.
President, I'd like to bring up my notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 42.
Notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 42 is brought up. That brings the bill before us. Senator Taylor, would you hold Senate Bill 42 for tomorrow's calendar on reconsideration?
I move Senate Bill 42 be held to tomorrow's calendar for reconsideration.
No, not for reconsideration. The reconsideration has been brought up.
In
so the bill,
reconsideration.
Yeah. It is in third reading on reconsideration on the calendar.
So moved.
Senator Adams?
I'd like to bring up my reconsideration on Senate Bill 156, an act amending the definition of municipalities for the purpose of human service matching grant program.
Senate Bill 156 is before us under reconsideration. Senator Taylor, would you move that be held for tomorrow's calendar?
So moved.
Without objection, Senate Bill 156 on reconsideration will also be on tomorrow's calendar. The first item on the calendar will be the budget bill.
Right. Mr. President.
Senator Taylor.
I move we adjourn.
Wait. Could we go ahead and have announcements? Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, there will be a minority caucus at 12 noon tomorrow in Senator Ellis' office.
Senator Pierce?
Under announcements?
Under announcements.
Thank you. The Senate Finance Committee meeting for tomorrow morning is canceled. However, tomorrow evening from 6 to 8, we do have a statewide teleconference on the gaming bill, and we do plan to still have that. bills will be held over until the, with the exception of the gaming bill, bills will be held over until Thursday morning at 8.
Okay, further announcements? Senator Jarrah.
Mr. President, I didn't hear the time of the teleconference for the gaming bill.
Tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Further announcements? Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, a point of information, could you inform the body what the plan is this weekend?
Senator Kelly, tomorrow we'll be going into session at 1 o'clock. We should be done with the budget by 5. We probably will take until 6 to finish the rest of the calendar. I expect the budget bill may well be reconsidered, taken up on Thursday. But we should, if we have the right transmittal back and forth with the House, be able to appoint the conference committee on Thursday, in which case we will take Friday and the Easter weekend off. Senator Pierce?
If it is our intention to have that schedule and have Good Friday off, then Senate Finance will be meeting on Saturday, probably at 10 a.m.
Further announcements? Senator Rieger.
HES Committee will not meet at 1:30 tomorrow then. We'll see if we can schedule a meeting later in the day, and if we can't, if it doesn't look practical, I'll make a further announcement tomorrow about 1:30 to either schedule it for later in the day or cancel it.
Further announcements, Senator?
Yes. I'll be doing exactly the same with the Judiciary Committee in light of the schedule to go back at 1 o'clock. We will continue to roll those items that are currently up.
Senator Little?
Thank you, Mr. President. This isn't actually an announcement. I just wanted to thank all the individuals who have stayed here late with us. I think it's kind of above and beyond the call of duty, and I appreciate their being here.
Thank you, Senator Little, and I agree with you. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. The 3:30 resources meeting will be postponed until a later time, either tomorrow evening or on Thursday, and we'll just roll the bills forward.
Senator Taylor.
And ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment until 1 p.m. Wednesday, April 7th.
Without objection, we're adjourned until 1 o'clock tomorrow.